Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back to another
episode of Tea Time with
Raven
and Miranda.
Wow, we should sing that more often.
That felt like a Pee Wee Herman moment.
Pee Wee.
Don't ever do that.
Can you do it?
Nope.
Try.
No. I'm good.
I love... Tequila! Hi.
Hi, babe.
So what did you do this morning?
This morning I woke up at 3 a.m., looked at the clock and said, fuck. And then I took the dog out and then I played my new video game on my phone. And then I was just in a really bad mood all morning.
I know. And then you came to see me in the gym. And I was mid-workout.
And I was sitting on the shake plate.
I could tell you were a little bit Ms.
Yeah, I'm a little, I got the melancholia.
The melancholia. I know it well. Mine just lifted a bit.
Yeah.
Because my period left. And right. It takes the melancholia right there with it. Okay, so today.
Yeah.
It's obviously another solo.
Really? You sure?
Well, I have an idea.
Ah, shit.
Who do you think we could FaceTime right now? From one of our phones that is popular, that could be our guest for like 2 minutes.
That's funny.
There has to be somebody in there.
That we haven't already had on the pod?
I mean, they could be making a recurring visit. They could just be popping in to say hello.
What time is it? It's the afternoon. I could think of some people that might FaceTime me.
I have Bradley Cooper's phone number.
Oh my God, we have to try.
I don't know if I'd FaceTime him. That's really stressful.
That's but really bold.
But I would call it.
I dare you to call it.
Okay. I'm really nervous.
Do you know what you're going to say when he answers?
No. I'm going to pretend like it's the wrong number. So here's the thing. I have his phone number in my
contacts
because of an old work situation. So I have this in probably because of the year 2016. So who knows if it's real? We're going to find out right now.
What's happening?
Does he know who you are?
Telephone number 3. Can't take your call now.
Okay, we should bleep all of that.
That was great, babe. Good
job.
Good
job. I tried. Okay.
Yeah, good job.
Who else?
Let me just see if he answers first.
Who?
What up, pimp?
Not much, love. I'm going to always pick up when you call.
Aren't you sweet?
Anthony,
did you ever meet my wife?
Getting his hair done. Hi.
I met your wife before?
Yeah, I think we met at the premiere of Blackish. Or no, the premiere of
was
Other People.
It was not too long ago, yeah.
So, Anthony, I see you getting your hairline done. I'm going to ask you to come on our podcast at one point.
I'll do it.
All right, for sure.
I'm hosting Kimmel all week, so I'm at the studio right now, so...
Okay.
Let me know when you need me.
All right, for sure.
Schedules and I'll be there.
Period, period. Ah, you look
you
good
look
and
great.
Handsome. All right, bye.
Thank you. All right, I'll see you later.
See you later.
Anthony.
Bye.
Good job.
Anthony Anderson answered, came through for the 1-2.
It's so funny how uncomfortable this is for you.
I don't
you
like
sweating?
It. I don't like it because I feel like I have people in my phone. I keep them safe. I don't like to share them because I wouldn't want them to do that to me in certain situations.
You should call Amanda Bynes.
Dare me.
I dare you to call Amanda Bynes.
Hey girl, I was just calling, checking in on you, seeing how you doing, how things are. Still want to have a paint night. All right, talk to you later. Bye. We're done, right? We're done.
Oh, we could FaceTime Brat.
Oh, we could FaceTime Brat. She's going to be like, Miranda's calling me?
Hello?
Hi, Brat. It's Raven and Miranda.
Hey!
What's up?
We're calling to say hello. We're on our podcast right now. It's not live. Don't worry. But we were thinking about you, and we were like, oh, let's call Brat and say hi.
Oh, that's what's up. I'm getting makeup right now. How y'all doing?
We're doing good. So well. How are you? Where's the baby?
Oh, he's at home.
He just turned 2, right?
Getting makeup. Yes, he made 2. Yes. No, what's today? He made 2 yesterday.
Happy belated. I'm sorry. As an auntie, I didn't say happy birthday.
It's okay. He'll understand.
No, actually, I'm going to say happy birthday to you. My mama always makes me say happy birthday to her on my birthday because she gave birth on that day.
still a bit.
What are you gonna make up for?
Dish Nation.
Okay, oh, for sure. Nice. Okay, well, we won't keep you, but
can we use this audio in our podcast?
Yes, I love you guys.
Love you too.
We love you,
and we still want you on.
Yeah, we still want you to come on the pod.
I will. I hope I get to see y'all. So let's do it.
Let's see each other. I love you. Bye. Love you too. Bye.
Love you too, Amanda. Bye.
Okay, well, that wasn't too terrible, babes. Good job.
I am sweating. I want to apologize to anybody that I called.
No, you people enjoy things like that.
I know, and I
and
don't...
you even enjoy it when people call you and do that.
No, I don't.
Because well, you act like you do.
Because no one's ever called me to do that, for one. And people know, like, you got to warn me because I might answer some kind of crazy way. I might be looking a certain kind of way. I definitely change attitude when certain people call.
This is true. You do.
And so people know that I'm that old black woman who's like, you better text me or call me before you come over.
You know who you sound like right now?
An old black woman.
I was literally like, you sound so much like your mom. It's crazy.
Yeah. Don't even call me out of nowhere.
So funny.
I'm from Atlanta. Yeah,
you better give me permission. You better ask permission to call me.
Exactly.
So funny.
It's so bad.
Do you think that there are too many Jurassic Park movies?
Hell yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Listen, I know the dinosaurs lasted for a certain amount of time, but that doesn't mean we have to keep them alive for that same amount of time again.
Got it.
We saw the last one. How did you feel about the last movie?
I think, you know, a lot of shit happened.
Is it Bradley Cooper calling you back?
It is. The fact that a Snickers bar wrapper was responsible for everything that happened in that movie is pretty wild to me. I'm going to just say that. I also don't really think it's a dinosaur movie.
Mm-mm.
Those are not dinosaurs. Those were like bizarre hybrid things. And the D-Rex is like a mixture between a beluga whale or one of those whales with the humpy things.
The dolphins with the humps on their head.
Yeah, it's like it's like the hump on the head meets a T-Rex meets kind of like Seth Rogen. Like, I don't even know. It's just like a weird combination of a creature that then is, you know, inflicting.
Seth Rogen as well.
It's just like creating chaos. And I was like, I just want to see real dinosaur
shit.
Well,
that's because you're on your 18th installment. There are no more dinosaurs that we found that we can really feel. And, you know, I would have liked for them to go to the classics. Like, you saw the T-Rex, but the Velociraptors are always pleasurable. I really did enjoy, what was the little baby's name that the daughter?
Dolores.
Dolores. I know that they needed a plushie for the ride, and so they
also
created Dolores.
That little girl,
she was so good.
She was Dora the Explorer, though she literally was live action Dora the Explorer in that movie in every single way. And then she names her little thing Dolores. And I was like, you guys, come on.
She is a fantastic young actress. She was amazing. There's been some child actors in movies like that. And I'd be like, I can see through it. I can see through it. She didn't have any lines and she was killing it. So I'm really proud of her.
Well, she had lines.
I mean, she had some lines, but she was
She had
acting.
A lot of physical action. Yeah, exactly. More like, I'm going to die. But no, she was really great. And what?
More like, I'm going to die.
That's crazy. That is, though. It is. What was your favorite Jurassic Park? The first one. But the thing that I think is interesting is that the writer of the first one is also the one who wrote Rebirth. And it is almost scene to scene identical in terms of story plot to the first. And there still is something to me that lacks heavily in the rebirth. Like, I thought
there was no rebirth. They didn't rebirth an animal.
Well,
they were actually...
It's the hybrid is what they're, I think they're calling the rebirth.
Oh, it was really bad. They shouldn't have named it rebirth.
No. And
it's not.
I also feel like it felt rushed.
I enjoyed the storyline. It was so simple. Anybody could understand it. I love Scarlett. I love all of the actors in it. I think they all did a very good job at acting to animatronics and green screen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of my favorite scenes was actually seeing the vegetable eating dinosaur at the very beginning messing up traffic. I thought that was a fun, cute they're in our world now.
Yeah.
Cute way to do that.
My favorite part was da na na na.
We were singing that all day before we got there in the theater.
Na na
na na. Ficky, ficky, ficky. Da na na da. Ficky, ticket. Da na na. Ficky, ticket. Da na na. Da na na. Da na na. What is a bop?
That was good. That
Laura's face is crazy right now.
You know what that actually was? The rebirth. You're welcome.
That was the You're rebirth.
Welcome. Okay, so today on Tea Time,
yeah,
we don't have a guest. We've established that, but we did have two sneak peek appearances by Brat and Anthony Anderson, which is super cute.
Thanks, guys.
And something else that's very exciting and different mm-hmm. about this podcast episode is that I do not know what's in the pot for the very first time, because I always know what's in that pot.
She always knows, and I'm like, it's not as much fun when you know ahead of time. It's fun when you have to just come off the dome and think about it.
What I do know is that there is more than one topic in there. Ooh. There are random questions Ooh. That people have written in to ask us, and we're gonna dig in.
I'm so excited for the day. Okay, you first, babes.
Okay. You just have to put your hand in here for a second, because there truly are so many.
I'm so excited. You know how normally we're like, there's so many in there. There's a lot in there.
Actually so many. Okay, I'm so excited. First time that I don't know what's in this pot and I get to pick. What's something you miss from the past and something you look forward to in the future? I miss Kittyland, which was this place at the farmer's market where you could go and play, and it was so cute, and I just miss that time. I miss the OG farmer's market. Some of you will now know it as the Grove, but when it was just the farmer's market and I could go as a kid, there was the best macaroni. I had all my old haunts. There was a pet store that I loved to go to because they had the cutest little puppies, and I'd play with the puppies, and I'd go to Kittyland. I'd play with the hippo. Like, they had a hippo game that I loved. That was amazing. So I feel nostalgic for that time. It just was simple and delicious and free, and you could park easily, and it was cool. So I miss that. And then what do I look most forward to in the future? I'm excited about the growth of this podcast. I'm excited and looking forward to some of our upcoming travel. I'm looking forward to Halloween.
Oh my God, Halloween.
Cooler months.
You're going to dress up as Halloween?
We can.
What would you like to dress up as?
I don't know. I have to think about it. Cute little outfit. I don't know. We don't really dress up ever. But if we really wanted to. Didn't we have an idea with Quinn that we wanted to do?
Oh my God. Quinn needs an outfit.
Or you just wanted to dress up Quinn, maybe?
Okay. Something that I miss from the past. I miss the box. Now, for those of you who guys don't know that were just born in the 2000s, there was a television show called The Box. And you could call in, request a music video, and they would play it.
Cool.
And I loved that. You could really program a television show. And when you saw your music video up there, you're like, I did it. Anyway, and what I'm looking forward to the future is to see how AI really is going to change this world. It's already making so many waves, and to be able to remember a world where there was no AI except in a movie plot, to living in a world where I'm old enough to use it to help further my life, is going to be interesting.
Cool. Yeah. Next topic.
What's the last thing you Googled?
Well, I can tell you right now.
Yeah. Let's just see.
Let's see. The last thing that I Googled was far-fetched, because they didn't send me my D&G shoes. Come to find out, they canceled my order and didn't even tell me.
Why did they cancel your order?
I don't remember.
Also, Farfetch is good. They're like really...
I know. They really totally canceled my order and didn't tell me. So that's the last thing I Googled. Why you cancel my order, Farfetched?
The last thing that I Googled was, what year was Paul Rubens born in?
Oh, yeah. We just watched that doc. Your turn.
Yeah. How's that McDonald's vow going, Raven? I couldn't read the writing for a second.
When I married Miranda, I vowed that I would never eat McDonald's again. I'm sure you're wondering if I've kept that vow. And out of all the ones that I've failed on, I definitely kept that one. The cravings are finally subsiding. Because trust me, for about 4 years, I would drive by it and just sit there and be like, I could just get a tea. There's nothing like a fish fillet sandwich, doubled on a Friday, if you guys know what I'm talking about, and a packet of ketchup with a small fry and a sweet and sour sauce on this. Listen, I don't talk about it.
Next one.
Okay. Is it possible to separate the art from the artist? Where is the line? I think that it is possible to separate the art from the artist when the artist's bad choices are not extremely infused into the art. So take, for instance, R. Kelly. You know what I mean? Like, some of those songs, man, some of those songs are bops. And then some of those songs, you'd be like, yo, I know exactly what he's talking about. Like, I'm not going to listen to those, but I also, I miss his voice sometimes. But that doesn't mean that I have to go and search him out and give him respect for it. I can do that. And then there's artists in the painting world that have created paintings where it's like, what are you going through behind closed doors that I can't buy your paintings because I know they were some type of outlet for you in your bad choices. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's hard to separate it. And I feel like the culture that we're in now sometimes cancels and then it's like, I'm done with you. Nothing, nothing. But let's not forget that art moves our society forward and there's all different kinds of art. And some people don't deserve to keep creating because of their choices. But I do believe that what they created before we knew what was going on, some of them are still good. I think
that it's interesting because some people see an artist, let's think of like an actor, right? And they just think that that actor is their character.
Yeah.
And so in that facet of this question, I can see where it is really difficult for some people. And even when you think about like someone like Jennifer Aniston, right? People are like, that's Rachel. Even though she went on to do movies after Friends, it was always like, oh, I'm seeing Rachel, I'm seeing Rachel, I'm seeing Rachel. So that person was not separated from their character. There are some people that just get stuck. Then there are artists, I think, like Lady Gaga, for example, who is so one with her art. Like, I believe she's truly crafting something that comes from this other place, or she's channeling. And I don't know what she's like when she totally strips down and is just Stephanie. I think it's also really interesting when you think about artists who create alter egos for themselves, because then that's a way to perform or release in a more free way, because you're not showing up as yourself, you're showing up as your alter ego, and that alter ego can then act out or do wild things. I think that for people that are receiving and absorbing art, it's always interesting to meet it with curiosity, to meet it with questions, to understand what it evokes in you. And then, like you're saying about R. Kelly, right? It's like, if you have found something out about the human behind the art that doesn't align with you, it's okay to then make a choice to say, I no longer want to support that, or I see it so differently now, I cannot engage because it's been tainted for me. Yeah. And I think all of that is okay. All of that actually makes it interesting. And all of that is further reflections of what happens in life.
And, you know, back to the, like, this is why I love this show, is because you can have one question and you can interpret it in so many different ways. And I absolutely love our brother Jaleel White.
Yeah.
But he was one of those artists where his character grew way beyond himself. And so people had a hard time separating him from that, and it took him a while to, you know, mold who he was, to be like, no, I'm not Urkel, I'm Jaleel. And there is a lot of that in celebrity, and there is a lot of that for the public, because when Jaleel, myself, and all of these people started acting before social media and before there was a need for an actual personal connection with the artist, not just the alter ego, we weren't telling our personal lives. Yeah. We weren't out there with tweets and letting you know our political stance and things of that nature.
I also think it's really different when you look at somebody
like the girl from Snow White. Jesus Christ.
I also think it's really different when you look at someone who is an artist, and I'm not discrediting an actor or anyone in, you know, that space, but when you're an actor who's given a script written by a different person, who's told that this is the character that you're going to embody, and obviously an actor can strip that down. They put it into themselves. They figure out what it means. But you're so structured and guided when you are filming a show or filming a movie. It's not the same as an artist standing before a blank canvas or sitting before a blank page and having to really pull something out of you and of your mind to then bring it to life. And so I think that when it also comes to characters in that way, it's easier to separate maybe an actor, even though we're saying it's been hard for the public, but if the public actually like was critically looking at something or actually understanding what they're seeing instead of just absorbing, it's easier to maybe separate like Raven Baxter from Raven Simone, because Raven Simone is not Raven Baxter. There's similarities, but there are strong differences. And like, that's not your reality. You don't live in that house. You're not psychic. You don't blah, blah, blah.
It's hard for people.
It's so hard for people. But I think it would be harder for me to look at someone like Dolly or Andy Warhol and separate them from their art, because their art was so true to...
But they are art themselves. They put themselves in the position of, I'm going to live this life and embody all that is, and this is my art as well. And then there's actors that don't do that. There's Shia LaBeouf, who gets a whole entire body tattoo for his one character.
Pulls his teeth out.
But then there's people, and I please keep this in. I don't give a fuck. But then there's people like the girl who played Snow White, who is not embodying that character outside of it and saying very controversial things that don't align with the character that she's playing. So
is that Rachel Zegler?
Rachel Zegler. So there's so many versions of blurred lines, but I think ultimately, whether we're talking about a person playing a character or a personal life bleeding into their work life in a negative way, you really have to know what you're selling to the audience and be so secure in who you are so that you yourself don't blur the line for yourself. Because there are some people who are like, don't you know who I am? You're not a work actor. Calm down.
Also, I think that it's really important to remember that people are complex and that when you're looking at an actor in one movie or you're looking at a painter's piece of art, you're seeing one part of that person. Yeah. There is a whole other human behind that canvas or behind that screen that you have no idea about. And that's the thing too, I think. So it's easier in a way than to separate people from their art when you also understand all the steps that are taken to then there. Produce the art.
Most definitely.
My turn. Okay. What's something you've tried that you were just terrible at?
Oh.
Raven's good at everything, so... You can say scheduling for you.
Oh, I was going to say being straight.
Hilarious. That's funny.
I was really bad at it. Scheduling. I'm really bad at scheduling. But here's the thing. My parents told me that I was bad at scheduling. They said that I didn't know how to plan anything. They really, like, put that in my system. And I ran with it. And so I never practiced it.
Until 10 minutes ago. Literally were just saying it.
No, and I say that, and I just kind of kept that narrative. I'm not really good at it. Let somebody else do it. I'm not good at scheduling, like, a 5-minute meeting here, a 15-minute meeting here, and in a week span, and then a travel. Like, that's not good. I can probably just do, hey, I'm free tonight. You want to come through? Like, I'm more of a spontaneous planner in that way.
That makes sense. Yeah. What do you think something that I'm terrible at?
I don't know. That's a trick question for a Leo.
It's not a trick question.
That is a trick question.
It's not a trick question. I'm genuinely asking you.
You're terrible at twerking.
Correct.
There you go.
I am.
I'm really bad at it.
I know. I wish I could be better. I think I'm getting a little better now because I found my hips more in Pilates, but...
Not Pilates teaching you how to twerk.
I think so.
Get it in, girl.
For you...
Next.
Maybe anything with a ball for you.
I don't do balls. I don't like when balls fly at my nose.
Yeah, so, but you weren't terrible at
that. Hashtag clueless. All right, here's one. What's the weirdest DM you've ever received? I would say that it's not particularly one. It's when someone DMs over and over and over and over and over again.
Totally.
I'm laughing because I'm looking at someone. No, but it is. It's like, I'm not answering you. I'm sorry, Laura.
I mean, I get DMs quite often asking to, like, let me be someone's something.
So, I need you to explain that.
Like, hi, would you be interested in, like, being my girlfriend for X amount of money? That type of stuff.
And you said, what, yes? How much money we get? I love that movie.
They're scams for sure.
Oh.
And so I get a lot of those, which are weird. And sometimes I get them from like other women. Like they'll take like a woman's
Maybe
photo.
It's called lesbians.
No. Okay. They'll take like a woman and then they'll make her like the photo and then send from there.
You're being catfished?
Yeah, probably.
You obviously, need to, like, clean out your DMs.
Obviously, any of the stalker stuff that has happened in the past has been very weird. And then Tea Time got a DM from someone offering to be a sperm donor for us.
Interesting.
Which is really interesting.
So that's so intimate. That's real intimate. You know what I mean? Like, is it warm? I'm confused. Are you freezing it? What's the deal, bro?
Well, he just probably knew that he had something that we might need one day and wanted to offer it up first. Guess who it was? Orlando Brown.
OB.
Big OB. Would you rather have spaghetti hair or Cheeto dust fingers?
Cheeto dust fingers.
Flashback.
Yeah.
And I'll look at the mom or the child and I'll be like, I'll do it. I'll come to you after. Just give me.
End of flashback.
Delicious.
How much spaghetti hair?
All of it. Like, it would be really full.
Spaghetti hair.
I knew she was about to say that. And it would be angel hair so that it would be flowy for you. Yeah, not like rigatoni.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah.
I love that. Luscious.
Yeah, luscious.
And then if you get hungry, you can just like nibble.
Semolina
locks. Oh my God, you would eat all of my hair. That would be problematic. I love wet bread.
Yep, I do.
You do.
I had so many other things going through my brain that I'm just not going to say.
Oh, you mean that brain?
That brain, that mouth.
I like that brain and that mouth.
Shout out to Kyle.
What's a belief you held 5 years ago that you've changed your mind about? That's a good question.
Was mine. That marrying a white girl. That marrying a white girl isn't fun. Or is fun.
Aw, babes, don't put yourself down. You're not all the way white all the time.
Correct.
A belief that I had 5 years ago that I no longer have. I'll let you go first because I have a few. I'm about to be 40 this year, so a lot of things in my brain are changing.
This is a hard one because it's like, where do you want to go? Do you want to go deep? Do you want to go light?
I think we go deep. We need to make sure we balance it. I had the belief that humans would work everything out. That things would just end up okay.
Yeah, that's a real one.
That changed. I'm not talking about politically. I'm not talking about socially. I'm talking about everything. Just on an overall. I don't believe that we are okay.
Yeah, we're not.
I know I said make it deep, but that is actually really deep if you think about it. We're not okay. We play like we're okay on it every day, but I really don't know if we're okay. I'm scared for us. And 5 years ago, before the death of my father, my brother, my aunt, my grandma, before my mom got sick, before my friend's mom died, my other friend's mom died, 5 years ago, we were just at COVID. So like, we're not okay. And that's also okay. It's just a change from the childhood that I used to have.
We were kind of talking about that last week. Yeah. And even though these things are happening and they don't feel okay to us, nothing is new.
Nothing is new.
This is all repetition. Yeah. And
it happens over.
The earth is just in pattern. And I think that bringing it back to Jurassic Park.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, one of the things...
5 years ago.
Well, one of the things that was said in this movie that actually did hit me was two humans are talking.
Not the dinosaurs.
No, the dinosaurs were talking. The two people are talking, and the conversation basically was, we think that we're the strongest species. We think that we're superior and that we're running this earth. And the truth is that we're not. Mother Nature is so powerful, and that... And every species on this planet has gone extinct before. And to think that human beings won't one day.
So egotistically narcissistic, it's disgusting.
But it's also dangerous because we live in that delusion.
Yeah.
And we think that therefore we can not take care of our environment, that we can just overpopulate, that we can keep building, that we can pollute, that we can just litter. We just don't have as an overall, the awareness that the Earth that we're on, we're essentially visitors on, and that this planet deserves to be respected and taken care of. And
at any time, she could spin or tilt the wrong way and we all gone.
And we've seen that because we see natural disasters. We see what happens when there are massive hurricanes, when there are floods, when there are earthquakes. We see how that disrupts everything. Every plane is grounded all of a sudden. Every person is without electricity. People are starving. Like, we are sensitive.
And in some belief systems, we're on our seventh Earth. So let me explain that. And this is kind of where my belief system comes from. But like you said, there was a civilization, the Earth cleaned it out. Another civilization happened, the Earth cleaned it out. We have restarted so many times. Yeah. And, you know, the amount of time that humans in this form have been on Earth is less than a nano of a nanosecond compared to the history of the universe or the Earth itself. So, like you said, we are not superior. Yeah. We are viruses on this planet, and we are as small as an atom when you go to the outskirts of Andromeda.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, calm down, everybody.
And I think that there's that aspect of this conversation and those thoughts. And then there's the more micro experience, which is the human, the individual experience of us on this planet, which is you lose things, you gain things, you struggle. We hurt each other. We
love each other.
We love each other. We have mental health problems, like all of that, getting sick, getting healthy, all of that is just the human experience.
Most definitely.
None of it is that mind-blowing to me anymore. I think that's a big thing that's changed for me over the last 5 years, is I am not surprised anymore. There's this element of just like, like so many things have kind of hit us and then also hit us individually, that I'm kind of just like, if you tell me that, I won't not believe it at this point, because just all this shit hits. But also, to fully answer the question for myself, I think that one thing that has changed drastically, or I don't believe anymore, is what a marriage is supposed to look like. I've learned so much about just us and how we function and how to build your own relationship and how to feel safe and secure in that the belief system I had around that has kind of, for the better, changed.
And I can kudos to that and give you receipts for that, because if you change your mental, your world changes.
Totally.
And the marriage that we had at the very start is totally different than the marriage we have now, which is what you just stated. You've changed a lot. Yeah. You said something in your beautiful speech about mental health issues and mental health problems. I just want to state that I don't think that there is anybody who's mentally healthy. I think mental health is a spectrum.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's okay. And if you think you're okay, you're probably not. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
What are some differences between how your spouse views themselves versus how you view them?
I think maybe what I would say that you haven't seen as confidently as you see all the other elements of yourself is your art. And I think that, like, we did that TikTok trend the other day and you showed your sketchbook off. And people are just blown away by your art and they love it so much. And that's the only place I feel like you still have this shyness and humility when it comes to yourself publicly or with anything that you're producing or offering to people.
Because I'm not humility. I'm not. I don't have a lot of humility otherwise.
So I would say that's place, fucked up. you don't see your true talent there as Thank much you. As you see your talents in other places.
I do not. I look at it like it's. Still, it's not as high end as I want it to be. Okay. I think that I've seen your talent as a writer, and I called you a writer even before you were comfortable calling yourself a writer because of your own thought processes about that title. And knowing that your Substack is back up and you are consciously making an effort to sit down and put words to a page is wonderful, because I think that that's one of your secret powers.
Thanks, babe. If the Matrix were real, would you take the red pill or the blue pill?
Well, the Matrix is real. No pill necessary, because all you gotta do is die. You'll be back in the in the Matrix. So I'll probably be taking the red pill for sure.
I'm just going to follow suit and take the red pill.
You do know what's going to happen, right?
No, I don't. Not really. I know I've seen the movies, but I don't really remember it.
When you take the red pill, you then melt and you wake up in an egg full of liquid. You pull a cord out of your mouth because you've been hooked up to a machine as a battery. And then you continue. No hair. You have no hair.
Okay.
And you have holes throughout your body that you have to hook up. You get this big wire. If you want to go back into the Matrix, you get this big needle put back in your skull. And you live, well, no sun. You'd like that. Not great food. No skincare. And
what happens if I take the blue pill?
You stay exactly where you are. And you're happy and you're oblivious to the real truth. And you get all the skincare in the world.
Okay, clearly you don't want me coming with you.
No,
so
you
I will take the blue pill.
I'm just letting you know what's going on.
Raven is literally like, I'm just done with you and I want to take the pill. You've convinced me. I'm taking the blue pill. I'm living in bliss with my skincare.
Morpheus wanted to let me tell you what you're getting yourself into.
Thank you, Lawrence Fishburne. I hope he woke up from that nap from D23 3 years ago very well.
I'm dead.
It's an inside joke.
It's an inside joke. Well, it's an inside truth. Not even a joke. That's what is real. Oh, shit. If you could create a new law and you had no rules, what would it be? I have a law. This is controversial, everyone.
Okay.
It's so controversial. And I need you to start a conversation in the comments.
Okay.
I truly believe that before Americans or humans can have a child,
I knew this is where you're going.
We need to have a system in place, maybe in the private sector, that scans the family before it happens.
It's so difficult.
It's so difficult. I know it's dangerous. I know it's controversial. I just feel like it would help. And they not only would help to make sure that that child is being raised appropriately and all of that, but I feel like this system, this community of humans that would come and say, oh, I see that you're pregnant, let us help you, gives you information, might advise, you know, maybe wait for this scenario because your surroundings aren't the best. And if you don't choose to wait, here are your options. Like a organization.
It's kind of like the movie that Lizzie Olsen just did. I can't remember the title of it, but basically she and her husband wanted to have a baby, but before they could, someone comes in and vets them. And
yeah.
And this is only from the trailer that what I extrapolated, so it probably goes haywire. But I hear what you're saying. I think that there
it would be. You can't have a kid without the consensus of everybody saying, yeah, you can.
The problem with that, though, you know the problems.
I know the
problems. Just all of a sudden you've lost body autonomy. You've lost control over yourself.
But I'm not saying that, like, yes, I understand that's how people would take it. But I'm
like,
not.
What is the criteria?
The criteria is, okay, let's say two people they're about to have a kid. Oh my goodness, you got to this is the
stage.
The stage. After you go to the doctor, you have to meet with this group of people. You fill out a whole thing. How much you make, if you don't make anything, where you live, where you don't live, what your plans are.
Where I hear you on this, and I agree with you, is think about people who go through weight loss surgery. In order to have bariatric surgery, you have to be at a certain weight, you have to have medical attention, then you have to have therapy. And there is all of this guidance around this there's all this guidance and support around this huge thing in your life that's going to happen. Having a child drastically changes your life. And not just for a small period of time, it's forever. And caring, and even think about when you go and get a dog. There is home visits. There's all of this vetting.
When you adopt a dog.
Yeah.
The paperwork that you have to fill out is crazy. You could just have a kid anytime.
Granted, if you adopt a baby, you would have to go through all of that. But if you just want to make one on your own, you can just make one on your own. And we see that. But that is kind of part of the human contract, which is that human beings can do this thing.
We can reproduce, but we're at a point in our society where we don't have, it's different now.
I hear you. And I think that, you know,
And again, I'm not saying that don't have the baby. I'm just saying where's the community that helps each person with the new person that's coming into this world. People are still having kids and don't even know how to breastfeed because they don't teach it beforehand. You know what I mean? It's like,
come on. Then maybe the law isn't so much who can have a kid as much as it is when a human gets pregnant or chooses to have a family, there is a support system in place that is offered that everyone can take advantage of.
Correct. The problem with that sentence that I had is that I never suggested that they couldn't have a baby. I was always suggesting the latter of that sentence.
Oh, got it.
I was never that's what I'm saying. They give you options for the future.
Oh, so it's, I thought you were saying that not everyone should be able to have a baby.
Never said that. Everyone should be able to have a baby. However, if you are about to have a baby, just like you want to go to the OBGYN, just like you want to get the baby checked out, it should be law that every child that comes into this world has a support system from a privately funded, from a private sector, not government, not trying to get the government involved, but a private sector area, group of people.
I love that. I think that's great.
That take care of that child to a certain point, because not everybody can take care of their child.
Or not. To me, that even reminds me of doula work. It's almost like everyone who gets pregnant could get a doula or something like that, because you have someone who's there to guide you and help you and educate you. And
there's so many types of births that happen, and there's so many types of humans that we need more help on how to be human now. Yeah. You know, there's so many distractions where some people don't even know where the urethra is or where the, you know, labial folds are.
Do you know your anatomy?
Next question.
So don't make me look like a bad doula. I taught you your anatomy.
I know my anatomy.
If I could make any law, I would say that nothing would be allowed to be more than $20.
Even houses and mansions?
Everything is no more than $20.
Even labor?
Everything. If we lived in a world where the most amount of money was $20, we would...
So I can only have $20 in my bank account at any one time?
No, you can have more than $20, but nothing costs more than $20.
I'm not mad at that. Why 20?
Because that felt like a good number.
That's fair.
Is it your turn? What's the dumbest thing you believed as a kid?
I'm having an emotional... problem. You go first. So,
mine went so dark too. Like, mine went so that dark. Happiness exists.
That my parents are actually happy and good people.
That's definitely the dumbest thing I ever believed. The dumbest thing I ever believed, that I was going to grow up and be happy.
Period. Man. I thought the same thing.
That's moving on.
Hilarious. Oh, a dream guest on Tea Time. You get two.
Oh my gosh. Interesting, because I was thinking about this very thing today. Dream guest, Jack Black.
Man.
Because fucking love Jack
Hell
Black.
Hell yeah.
And because I think, hear me out everybody in the comments, because I think it would make for a really interesting, dynamic, controversial conversation, Candace Owens.
Yeah, I want Candace Owens too.
Yeah.
Can I take care too?
Can we double down
on Candace Owens together?
Yeah,
or should
I come
up with a different one?
No, you can say.
Okay, I would say Candace Owens as well, because I'd love to talk to her. I just want to know, like, what her morning routine is, what she's like at home. I don't have to get into her politics. I just want to understand the human that she is.
Got it.
Because her hair is always banging. Okay. And then for my not copycat answer, I'm going to say... Jaden Smith.
Oh, that's a great one.
I would really like to talk to Jaden Smith. I just want that closet. I want to go in his closet with...
That's not going to help you.
Why not?
Talking to him on this podcast is not going to get you in his closet.
Watch me.
You
watch
can
it happen.
Call him right now.
I don't
like,
know him.
Call his daddy. Call
somebody. I know his daddy before I know him. Yeah, he's younger than me.
You don't need to get him on this podcast to talk to him to then get him to want you in.
I have to make him fall in love with me.
I mean, I want him on the podcast, but what I'm saying is you're not going to make him fall in love with you on this podcast. And after that, he's going to be like, you know what, Raven? I want to take you into my closet.
Babes, when Jaden Smith comes on this podcast, the follow-up TikTok will be me in this man's closet.
Hilarious.
Watch it happen. Put it in the comments. Bet me.
I want the whole family on. This morning when I was working out, I saw a new Red Table Talk, which you know that was part of
it.
that is part of what made me want to have a podcast. I kid you not. Love it so much. But it's the whole main family? Cast. No. It's Jada, Willow, and Grandma. And it's Queen. Oh. And she's talking about how her body has been such a thing and her weight.
Yeah,
her...
Queen is a big one.
I want all of those people on the podcast.
Every single one, even a grandma.
Let's make the whole Smith family one answer.
So then, and then Candace Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. And Jack Black.
Yo, don't Candace, come on.
Jack Black, come on.
Your turn.
Okay, it's the final.
The final countdown.
The final count. And what a sweet one to end on. Our favorite memory together.
Aw, meow.
So sweet.
The memory of Miranda was she was standing out. She had just landed, standing outside waiting for me to pick her up at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And weirdly enough, the memory starts before you get there. It's this woman in this weird fur coat. And I was so weirded out by her that I took a picture.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
I was like, who the fuck is this woman?
Yeah, I totally remember that. Remember that? You showed it to me. I did. I
was
wow.
Like, look who was out here.
Yeah.
And then you showed up and I was like, oh, come here, cutie pie. Yeah. And then we had a ride and we had a great time afterwards. But it was that whole chain of events leading to your face. It was great.
That's so sweet. One of my favorite memories of us together is probably our trip to Two Bunch Palms.
We had great some trip. Really great pictures from that trip.
We
too.
Had great, yeah. It was just so nice.
I sunned my vulva.
You sunned your vulva. I had a little bit of a conniption the first day because I was like, "What are we doing here?" But then I acclimated and I liked it.
I brought a microwave for you.
You got me a microwave. That was like our real honeymoon. It was.
It was.
We like consummated our marriage. Yeah. It was good.
It was much better than
Big Bear.
Big Bear.
That was a fun time. But there's so many. It's hard to pick just one.
I mean,
one.
It's 6 years almost. Babes, I enjoyed reaching in that pot with you.
It was really fun. Let's toast.
Let's toast.
Today on the pod, we are toasting to sliced bread.
What up? Yo. What up, sliced bread?
97 years ago on this day
in
Chillicothe, Missouri, pre-sliced bread first went on sale. The loaves baked by a local company were cut using a machine designed by Otto Rowetter.
Rowetter.
Rowetter. Really? Rowetter. Sliced bread wasn't just a success, it was a revolution.
It was a revolution because before then, you ordered loaves, you had to slice it yourself, the slices were not even.
Yeah.
Okay? This created the ultimate PB&J lifestyle. Every mother in the home, every 50s Betty Crocker could make sandwiches for their children, and they didn't waste bread.
Mm-hmm. You're the best thing since sliced bread.
Babes, you're the best thing since bread.
You're easy as pie.
Thanks so much for watching Tea Time. This episode has been absolutely amazing. Don't forget to like, really subscribe, comment, and don't forget to follow us on all the socials. It's Tea Time.
Bye, guys. Okay, perfect.
Wait, keep your hand out. It'll be a funny cut.